In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Jacket room right here to the right, right when you walk in. And wouldn't you know it, just to my right, I got Letterman's jackets from Kerman High School, Selma, funny I should mention those two schools, Edison, Hoover, Sunnyside, Liberty, Torres, Sanger West, Clovis North behind me. So this is the one and only place to get your Letterman's jackets. First String Sports on Blackstone in between Sierra and Herndon. So, what are we doing today? We're talking high school sports, maybe a little bit about Fresno State. You haven't heard, they got a football game today, the Rose Bowl, UCLA, kicking off at 12:30. But last night, there were crowned five more Central Section champs. Five more champs. And we had the pleasure of broadcasting one of them. It was a historic night. So last night, Madera hosted Kerman. So Madera was the 2 seed, Kerman was the 5 seed, the Road Warriors were the Lions. A lot riding on this game. Right, one of these teams was going to hoist a Division III Central Section champion plaque. Right? One of these teams was going to walk off that field with the first football title in school history for their school. All the history of Madera High, over 120 years that school has been open, they have never won a title in football. Kerman, opened in 1967, had never won a title in football. There's been titles in other sports, but never in football. And Madera obviously has a rich history of football. Right, you remember Mark Barsotti, incredible quarterback. They lost their championship game to Hanford. Went on to Fresno State. He's one of the legendary quarterbacks, Fresno State. He didn't win a Central Section title. Alec Gamboa, one of the great athletes, more recent athlete, 4-sports star. Pitched in the Dodgers organization this last year, in AAA. He never won a Central Section championship. So lots riding on last night's game. Phil Bonanni and I were able to call it. I mean, tons. I mean, I could spend about 10 minutes talking about historic Memorial Stadium. All right? So Kerman came in again as the Road Warriors. We know what they did last year. Went all the way to the Central Section Championship game before losing to Mission Oak. They were on a little bit of a revenge tour, playing really good football. Coach Damon Jenkins done an amazing job. On the flip side, Madera, the 2 seed, Division III, Coach Kenny Palinelli, an amazing guy. He's a Madera guy through and through. Grew up playing in that stadium, not only in high school, but he told me stories how he would jump the fence when he was little, 5 years old, playing tackle football with his buddies. So a lot riding on last night's game. And I tell you what, you know, we broadcasted the Central and Clovis East game last week. Probably 5,000 people were there at the Monica Stadium. Well, last night, it seemed like the whole town of Kerman was on the opposite side, and the whole town of Madera. Madera is a bigger town, obviously. About 20,000 compared to almost 70,000 from Madera. But the side of the stadium that we were on top of the press box. Yes, we were cold. Got down to 44 degrees, but we braved it. But it was just an incredible atmosphere. So what happened? All right. So 35 points total in the first quarter. We were joking. Well, it's going to be the first team to 60 is going to win this football game. 35 points total. It ended up being 28-28 at halftime. There was a huge stand by Kerman. decided to go for it, not kick the field goal, decided to run their quarterback to the left, and Kerman smothered the play. So Kerman went into halftime with all the momentum, and I tell you what, that Lion defense, the second half was absolutely amazing. Played shutout football, scored two touchdowns on offense, and Kerman did it. They were the champs. They won 42-28, so congrats to Kerman for winning their first Central Section championship in football this year. They won one in boys basketball last year. But just an incredible job by Coach Dana Jenkins and his staff. They played hard-nosed football. It was a tight game. Kerman actually went up 21-7. Garrett battled back. Mentioned it was 28-28 at halftime. But the Deuce did it. And there was a couple remarkable plays, and we're going to get into that because we got Kerman High coming in live to First String Sports at around 11:30. We got Coach Jenkins, some of his players. Wasn't sure who he was going to bring, but we got some dudes, man. Adrian Torres, the quarterback, Vaughn Blunt, Nick Graywall, and I made a case for Graywall being the MVP of the game. We gave it to the entire Kerman defense as players of the game. But Graywall made this incredible interception in the end zone. He was turned around, turned back, he opened up to the football, and with his right hand, the ball was almost behind him, grabbed it one-handed, intercepted a pass in the end zone on third down. Huge, huge play. I think they were around the 10-yard line. And they played great, great defense, like I mentioned, opportunistic offense. So, again, congrats to Kerman for winning their first Central Section title in football in Division III, and excited to hear from them around 11:30. All right, so after the break, Coach Mitch Francis of Selma, another great story. The Bears won the D5 Central Section title with a 32-28 win at Morro Bay. Morro Bay was a 4-seed. Coach Francis, in his first year, has done an amazing job in Selma. And coming off back-to-back 1-9 seasons. Absolutely remarkable turnaround. So excited to hear from Coach Francis. We'll hear from him, I don't know, about a little less than 10 minutes or so. After Coach Francis, we got Mark Tennis, friend of the show. Love having him on every year. He is the sports editor for Cal High Sports. He'll help break down where all the Central Section football teams will land in the state playoffs. It's a projection, but he's like 90% right on these things. Does a fantastic job with state rankings, again, predicting where teams are going to land in state, writing previews, so always great to talk to Mark. He is a wealth of knowledge with high school sports in California. At the top of hour number two, a little after 11 o'clock, Stephen Hicks joins the show. He's a sports director at ABC. He right now is, he's at the Woodward Park CIF state cross country meet, and I'm pretty sure that Buchanan had a great had a great run this morning. I don't want to spoil it, but they had a fantastic run at the at their home course. So talk to Stephen about that, about high school sports. Obviously he does Friday Night Lights on ABC 30 around 11:15. I never missed that show, so looking forward to talking to him. And then I mentioned the Kerman High guys are coming in, Coach Jenkins and a few of his star players, so looking forward to that. So jam-packed show. I need to go over a couple of the other scores around the Central Section. I mentioned five total crowned. In Division II, Bakersfield Christian defeated Central Valley Christian 28-7, so Darren Carr and his staff. Brother David is the offensive coordinator. You know the Carr family well. That was actually a rematch from earlier in the season. On September 6th, Bakersfield Christian beat CVC 49-28. So, again, congrats to Bakersfield Christian. Now they have won titles in 2016, 2019 when they won state, and then in 2024 this year. But also what a great job that Coach Don Arax did for Central Valley Christian, right? Who could have ever guessed that a year ago that Coach Arax would be let go from his position at Bullard High School midway through the year,
and end up at CBC, taking over for Mason Hughes, taking over for a program that not only won D2 and the Central Section, but won the state. And they just got better. They got tougher. They got better, which isn't a huge surprise. And he's gone on record, Coach Arax has, that he feels very, very thankful for landing at Central Valley Christian. And he feels blessed. He's surrounded by a really good community. And he said he absolutely loves it there. He couldn't imagine being anywhere else. So congrats to Bakersfield Christian and the CBC for having a good year. In Division 4, we had a great game, an incredible comeback. Shafter and Kalinga. Shafter, the top seed with one loss on the year. Kalinga going in undefeated at 13-0. Something was going to break in that one. Well, Shafter held a 33-21 lead. We're following it while broadcasting the Kerman and Madera game. And we're like, hey, it looks like Shafter's going to do it. Kalinga scores a touchdown, gets the ball back. Noah Tassi throws a touchdown, 21-yard touchdown pass to Gavin Watson with under a minute left to play. Went for two, didn't get it. And then Shafter drove down the field. I think they're at around the 40-yard line. Threw a pick in the end zone. That ended it. So Kalinga holds on for a 34-33 win. Upsetting Shafter, or was it an upset? I mean, that game was about as even as possible. So congrats to the Horned Toads on their championship in Division 4. We mentioned Division 5, Selma defeated Morro Bay. We're going to hear from Mitch Francis after the break. And Division 6, great story down in Lindsay. They hosted Miramonte, who was the 12th seed, the upset Minarets, the top seed. And Lindsay played shutout football the entire game, defeated them 28-0. So congrats to Coach Marcus Alonso on that Division 6 championship. They went into the playoffs at 5-5, now 9-5, and headed to a state playoff game and was able to hoist the plaque. So congratulations to those guys. All right, we are going to take a break here, and then we got Mitch Francis in the house live here at First String Sports. Thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate you. More to come on 1430 ESPN.
Get ready for the return of a Valley favorite, Major Wager Monday Night Football with Carter at Mionette's Victory Grill.
Place your bets for Monday Night Football. It's free to play with prizes every week. And every time you come out, you can register to win a brand new Traeger barbecue from Fresno Ag. We'll see you at the bet table. Get all the details at 1430ESPNFresno.com.
It's 1430 ESPN's Major Wager Monday Night Football, brought to you by JR Sports and Collectibles, the Save Mart Center, and Coors Light, made to chill.
Citizens Business Bank is a proud sponsor of the Fresno State Bulldogs. Hi, I'm Susan Woosner, Senior Vice President and Manager of Citizens Business Bank in Fresno. At Citizens Business Bank, we're celebrating 50 years of serving successful small and medium-sized businesses in California. We have successfully taken a customer-focused and relationship-driven approach to banking for more than half a century. We pride ourselves on our ability to provide you with the personal service you'd expect from a local community bank while offering you all the capabilities you get from a large bank. My team strives to build long-term banking relationships by getting to personally know you and your business, and then providing you with a wide array of powerful solutions customized to your unique financial needs. Visit cbbank.com to learn how Citizens Business Bank can help contribute to your success. That's cbbank.com. Citizens Business Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Hedrick Chevrolet wants to take a moment to say thank you to our incredible community. Now, it's time for us to give back. During Chevy's Red Tag Sale, you can get 0% financing on select Silverados and many SUVs in stock. As you gear up for the holidays, Hedrick Chevrolet, your business elite dealer, has the deal for you during the Red Tag Sale. Come see for yourself at Shaw and 168 in Clovis or visit online at HedrickChevrolet.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Hedrick Chevrolet.
Ends 1-2-25.
Roger Dunn has the new Callaway Paradigm AI smoke drivers to take your game to the next level. State-of-the-art technology. They've created the most advanced driver face in the history of Callaway Golf. The AI smart face is designed to create a sweet spot, and not just the center, but all over the face. AI smoke drivers, fairway irons, and putters. The AI smoke driver, it's sweeter from every spot. Paradigm AI smoke drivers. Remember, you're always number one at Roger Dunn.
I make sure that we have plenty of parts for the service department and the customers in the front counter.
That's Al Carmona, parts manager at Pioneer Equipment Company.
A lot of farmers come in, they know what they want, and if they don't, we try to help as best as we can.
Pioneer carries a wide selection of Kubota, Land Pride, and Nelson parts. Stop by and see us in Fresno or Reedley. We'll get you a cup of coffee and the parts you need.
We have really good customers. Pioneer Equipment's a great place.
Visit pioneerequipmentca.com.
This fall, don't hibernate your hunger. Swing by Black Bear Diner in Fresno. Come in for breakfast served all day, or pop in after 4 p.m. for diner deals starting at just $11.99. And hey, we've got lunch too. Black Bear Diner doesn't offer the bare minimum. Our portions are huge, satisfying even the hungriest appetites. Feed your inner bear today at Black Bear Diner in Fresno, on the corner of Shaw and Marty, where there's something for everybody.
Black Bear Diner.
At Fresno Bully Rescue, we work to rescue and find homes for bully breed dogs, one of the most overpopulated and misunderstood dogs in California. Hi, I'm Bridget Booth with Fresno Bully Rescue. We are looking for people who love making a difference in the lives of homeless animals. Come volunteer with us. Volunteering is also a great way to get in your exercise. To sign up for our next volunteer orientation and to check out all of our amazing adoptable dogs looking for their forever homes, please visit FresnoBullyRescue.org.
Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, live here at First String Sports. I'm your host, Paul Metters, and you know, I gave a tiny bit of a synopsis of some of the other games, but I wanted to wait to hear straight from the Selma head coach himself. So we got Mitch Francis here. I've been following Selma for most of the year. You know, the program has been down a little bit to the last few years, but I tell you what, this year was a year to remember for the community of Selma and for the high school and admin and everybody that's involved. So as a 7 seed, these guys went down to Morro Bay last night, defeated them 32-28, captured the D5 Central Section title. On the road, they defeated Mendota, Hoover, and Delano, encapsulated by last night's win. So first of all, Coach, thanks for coming in live here at First String Sports. We were texting late last night, right? Your phone ran out of juice during the game.
Yep. About fourth quarter died, and then I'm in the car, just started charging it,
you know. And so I texted you, I'm like, hey, I'd love to have you on the show. And finally around 12:30, I guess, when your phone got charged enough, you're like, okay, yeah, sounds good. So like driving home last night, like what was going through your mind? Were you just replaying it? Were you just, you know, riding high emotionally? Let's talk about what that was like riding home last night from Morro Bay.
It was pretty cool. It was me, one of my assistant coaches, one of my best friends, Khalil Harshaw. We were driving home just talking about, you know, what happened all the way from start to finish, and just how exciting it was, you know, seeing the joy on our kids' face, watching our seniors that went 1-9 two years in a row to coming out and getting their 9th win this season. It was pretty exciting, just kind of like living in the moment and enjoying it.
Were there certain times when you're driving back, or maybe even after the game, where you just like started smiling? Like you're like, oh my gosh, did that really happen? Were you pinching yourself at times?
Multiple times. which scenario are we talking about that made us smile? There was a bunch of key moments that were just huge. We had Irvin Prieto popped a big run, and that was made us smile big. We had Jake Hernandez popped a big one. Mateo Roque was leading the way, knocking people out. Then 3rd and 1, we had a really clutch situation. Aaron Hernandez, our quarterback, scrambled out, hit Braden Francis for a touchdown, and it, you know, it changed the game. And just seeing our guys' faces all along, you know, it was fun to talk about in the car.
And it is tough, and we mentioned it here on the show, right? We don't hear or see a lot of the coastal schools, right? You know, I think Atascadero maybe last year had that really good run, and you know, see a couple other schools pop up in the playoffs and make decent runs, but how did you guys, right? I mean, it's just survive in advance for you guys. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, Morro Bay defeated the number one team, Bishop, right, on the road. Like, okay, I guess we're going to Morro Bay. So what did you know about those guys before you went into that game, and how did you scout them?
We scouted them pretty thoroughly. We knew that they were a pretty heavy pass. They had a dude at quarterback that is, I don't know if you knew, but he's number one in the state for passing yards. He had 4,000 passing yards. He had 46 passing touchdowns, and he had 8 rushing touchdowns. So he was kind of our focus. We knew that they liked screens. They liked to throw it deep, and then we had to stop him on the quarterback run game. And so we felt like we kind of had their scheme. At one point, they got in a swinging gait that kind of like threw us off, you know, off
our tracks. You hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, we hadn't seen it before in the middle of the field, at least. And they were in it for like six or seven plays.
It wasn't an extra point?
It wasn't an extra point. It was middle of the field driving down. And, you know, I think we just kind of weren't ready for it, you know. Like, we missed some tackles on it. And then after we adjusted to it, we ended up getting them out of it. And, you know, kept them from getting back in it. And we were good.
Absolutely. And so for a little bit of background, so doing the research on your game against Morro Bay, I did not know this. I don't know how this slipped past me, but the coach at Morro Bay is Robert Doherty, and he was a Mount Whitney legend, played at Boston University, you know, threw for a ton of yards. And that was his son, right, was the quarterback.
So we noticed that, but we noticed the last name, and we couldn't figure that out. Pre-game, we asked him a question, and he didn't say that his son was playing quarterback. Okay. So we kind of just...
Keeping it on the down low or what? Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's his son.
No, we definitely thought there was some relation, but, you know, pre-game, him and I had a conversation, and he left that part out, and so I didn't ask.
He didn't want to give you too much info, I guess, before the game.
I don't know. He told me he was in Hawaii the last 10 years and then just kind of moved here to... take that job is what he was
saying.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. All right. So that's a little background on that, on the Morro Bay. So you mentioned a little bit how some of your dudes made some plays. What, you guys went up 25-7 at one point, yeah. And then held it up for 32-28. Just kind of walk, you mentioned a few plays, but just kind of walk us through maybe when you guys went up big and then barely holding on for that win.
Yeah. Came out, we started out with on the first drive. We went down there and we scored, you know, like we planned. We had some good third down conversions where, you know, we were just slowly kept pounding the ball. We were big run all night. And then when it was time to throw the ball, our quarterback came up clutch and just kind of found the right guys in the right time. But we started off hot. And then the second half, you know, offense, we had to kind of get it going a little more. I will say the last fourth quarter or the last quarter, we were trying to get out of there.
What was the, like, right? Just kind of explain what the stadium was. It like close to the coast? Like, I mean, I have no idea where the stadium's at.
From the stadium, you can see the top of the rock.
Really?
It's a pretty cool area where it's at. The stadium itself is, you know, a little, I think our stadium is better at home.
Oh, you got a fantastic stadium.
Our stadium is legit. But no, it was definitely a cool scenario. It was cool, just the weather. It was really windy, really cold. The way Selma traveled was incredible. Like our whole staff, our whole sideline was packed. All the way, the whole bleachers, we had people standing up. The way Selma traveled was incredible. We had alumni sending us videos all throughout the week of their rings, giving us little hype videos.
All right.
On the way out, we had a police escort with a fire escort behind us. The whole community guiding us out. Like it was really special the whole way.
That's legit.
From the get-go.
That is awesome. That's one of the things that we love about towns like Selma, Kerman, Lindsay, right? Just the one school towns where everybody travels, everyone, you know, Friday night lights are sacred, right? You come to football games. So that is really cool for your community.
We had a parent who got the train horn last night, and man, it made a huge difference.
You could hear it.
Yeah, third and fourth down on defense, and they were cranking it. It had us pumped up.
So buzzer sounds, right? So how did the game end? Did you guys end up running out the clock, or did you guys stop them, or how did the game
So we end? We were running the ball, and we gave them the ball. We gave them the ball with about a minute 30 left, and then a little less than a minute 30, and we just eat them up, kept them in balance. They are out of timeouts, and we had them all covered in the back, and their quarterback took off scrambling, tackled him right by our sideline, and from there it was a party.
That's a good place to tackle on your sideline. So what was the celebration like for you and your coaching staff? Are you just jumping around crazy, throwing your headset down, or looking for some guys to hug, or what was your celebration like?
Just kind of taking it in the moment, living right there. It was pretty exciting just seeing all our boys smile and just hearing everybody being so excited. You know, after going 1-9 2 years in a row, I can't say I really think our kids thought we were going to be here. And so being here, we were enjoying it and we had fun. And that was a special moment as a coach, just to watch my boys live in the moment. And, you know, not everybody got that Friday night. And so we know that we're blessed to get it.
Absolutely. Five crowned last night and then two the week before in the central section. So what, like down when you guys were taking the picture and all that, so how cool of a moment was that? Like, did you, you know, were able to post some pictures on social media or, you know, what was that like taking a picture with the plaque?
That was such a special moment. It was really cool. I was drenched with Riptide Rush Gatorade and just enjoying it, you know, once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, yeah, that was cool.
How cold was it? Because in Madera, it got down to 44 degrees. Was it like in the low 40s there?
Yeah, I didn't look at the temperature because I just...
You didn't care.
It didn't matter to us. We knew it was colder than what we were used to, and so I wasn't really trying to go pay attention to that. According to the weather apps, it was supposed to be 54 at kickoff.
Not bad.
Yeah, really, it didn't feel like the temperature was too cold. It was the wind that just, you know...
Biting a little bit, right?
Yeah, the wind.
Make your eyes tear up.
Exactly, and you have to think that messed with their passing game a little bit, just, you know, besides our guys covering, and then it was pretty windy.
All right, so who are some guys, you mentioned some plays on the field in last night's game, but who are some dudes for you that absolutely clutched up all season, like guys that you relied on all year?
Our entire line. Like, we could not do anything without our left tackle, Isaiah Ochoa, our left guard, Jesse Velasquez, our center, J.J. Paredes, right guard, Mateo Roque, and right tackle, Eric Vega. Those five were the five that we just absolutely depended on the entire season. And, you know, we got down to some times last night where it was like 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, and we said, we need a first down to win the game. We're going behind you guys. And then they got them.
Well, offensive lines are huge, especially in, you know, in championship games and colder weather. You know, you go at Central Valley, right? You start off in 100, you know, sometimes 104 degree weather, and then you end up with, you know, 40 degrees, and you never know where you're going to play in the playoffs as well. Offensively, like who were some of your mainstays? Like you mentioned predominantly a running team. Right, and just kind of pass just to open it up a bit. Is that kind of your MO all season?
Yeah, we're a smash mouth team, and we're going to get you to bring the safety up, and then we're going to pass after we get you to bring it up, basically. But our guys all season long were Jake Hernandez. We relied on him, number four. He was our Mr. Do-It-All. If we needed a good pass, you know, catch a fade, we're putting him at the outside receiver. He's catching it. I think he had two walk-off fades this year. Should have had one last night. They caught out of bounds on fourth down, and it was like, oh, he caught it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, he should have had one last night. Caden Berry was like, you know, our bowling ball. I like to call them thunder and lightning between Caden and Jacob. One of them's trucking, yeah, the other one's Mr. Elusive. Caden Berry is a stud on our team that, you know, both of those guys played both ways for us, running back. One started at safety, the other started at linebacker. Braden Francis, another guy who started the middle linebacker, my tight end. He's kind of special because he's my little brother. So
recognize that last name.
Yeah, it was kind of nice seeing him play well this season.
All right, so let's go back a little bit. So you mentioned the back-to-back 1-9 seasons. You take over the program this year. It's your first year as a head coach at Selma. If I would have told you first day of practice this year, I went up to you and said, hey, Mitch, on November 29th, you guys were going to beat Morro Bay for a D5 Central Section Championship, you would have said what?
That's the goal. We're going to be there.
Really?
That's the goal. I mean, we definitely, you know, set our goals high. I can't say everybody thought it was a super realistic goal, but the coaching staff, you know, we knew we were capable of doing it, and we just had to get it out of our guys, and, you know, their guys came through.
And you executed. So when did – all right, so you – that's awesome, right? I actually didn't expect you to say that. I thought you were going to say, man, you're crazy winning the D5 Central Section title first day of practice, but you believe that's great. When do you think the kids, the players, started to believe that, right? Like, was there a certain game during the year where you competed really well against a tough team, or maybe after, you know, the first round playoff win, you're like, hey, we can really do this. When do you think the kids really thought it?
So when we got that third win of the season and we knew that we were qualified for playoffs, it changed our team's mentality. And, you know, we kind of knew that there was going to be something after the Kingsburg game. And so that was an exciting moment for us. After, you know, as we kept going, we just kind of gained confidence as we got going. As soon as we saw the bracket and we got dropped, or, you know, we got placed in the D5 bracket, we liked our matchups there. We saw that we were the 7 seed, but there was nobody in the bracket that we were really running away from, even Bishop. We were excited to go travel to Bishop if that happened. And so once we saw the bracket, you know, we felt like we were the biggest dog in the fight, and we were ready to roll.
So two really good teams. You mentioned Kingsborough. I'm glad you did, because on October 25th, you played a really good Exeter team, lost to them 28-7. And then Kingsburg, who lost that heartbreaker to Golden West in the D2 playoffs, lost to them 38-7. But then started the Mendota Hoover. So that was, you know, probably those games, right, just helped you guys in the playoffs, right, playing those really tough teams, Exeter and Kingsburg.
Absolutely. Both are very respectable opponents. Our first drive versus Kingsburg, I don't know if you heard about that one, but we had a 16-play drive versus Kingsburg that took off like 8 minutes of the clock, and we scored. And so after that, we kind of, you know, let the ball slip, but that gave us some confidence moving forward to where it's like, guys, we can play. Like, if we execute that drive throughout the game, we could hang with anybody.
And not only did you hang, but you won the whole darn thing. You're wearing the hat, the CIF Central Section Championship hat. I bet that was fun. You probably haven't taken it off, probably slept to that thing. But last thing, Coach Francis, again, thanks for coming here to First String Sports to talk about the Selma Bears. What do you got going the rest of the weekend, man? You got the full weekend ahead of you to enjoy this. What, you got any big plans?
We're celebrating today, and then we're seeing what the bracket drops next, and then getting ready for whatever they drop next.
You get to practice next week. That's exactly. A cool thing. And design a ring and all that great stuff. So, again, thanks for coming in, Coach. Really appreciate you. Thanks for sending me that late-night text around, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and happy this worked out for you to come on.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Paul.
All right. That's Mitch Francis, the head coach at Selma. First year, man, wins a Central Section title. Awesome stuff. When we come back next, we're going to be talking with Mark Tennis, the editor at Cal High Sports. Where are some of these schools going to be playing? Or he's going to try to predict the best he can in the state playoffs and a little bit more. Coming up on 1430 ESPN. All right. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. He's had a really good talk with Mitch Francis. Can you imagine? Back-to-back 1-9 seasons. You're happy that you got that third win during the season because that qualified you for the playoffs, and then you just go ahead and win the whole thing, Division 5. So great, great story. That's one of the reasons why we love high school sports, and we love highlighting coaches and programs and the players. Just fantastic stories all the way around. Now it's time to bring in a friend of the show, a friend of mine, Mark Tennis. He is the editor at Cal High Sports. You guys definitely need to subscribe to Cal High Sports. They are definitely the authority in all things high school sports in the state of California. Records, rankings, breakdowns, just everything you can imagine for a high school sports junkie like me. So, Mark, how you doing this morning, my friend? Good to talk to you.
I'm good. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right. So, really quick, last night, where were you at last night?
I went to the CIF Sac Joaquin Section Championships. They're the only section in California that actually has multiple games in one place that you could see. So, I love it. I mean, it's perfect for me. So, I saw three games yesterday. Started at 11. It was a game at 3. Grant played Rocklin in the nightcap, and there'll be three more games there today, which I won't be able to go to because I have a family commitment. But I love it when they have three games in one place. It's perfect for me.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Those types of environments are great. I love it when our basketball championships are selling the arena. You get to catch all the action in one good sitting, one good place. So I want to ask you, Mark, about the Central Grizzlies. They defeated previously unbeaten Clovis East last Friday. That's their fourth title since 2017, which was their first title in school history. With your rankings, I think you had Clovis East as high as maybe 14th or 13th. Did that score really surprise you in any way, showing that Central beat them?
Sure. They spotted some things I think they could capitalize on. In Central was a young team that played them the first time, and it was a close game. It was a one-score game. And, you know, Grant of Sacramento had scored 45, I think, against Clovis East in a high-scoring loss. So, I mean, there is the potential that that Central could come back and win that game, especially the way they beat Clovis North in their previous game, which avenged, you know, the first of their two losses.
And, Central, you know, they've been obviously on on everybody's radar since they broke onto the scene in 2017, and then with that state championship in 2019. You know, just talk about that program and what Kyle Biggs has done. Seven out of eight Division One Central section championships is pretty darn amazing if you think about it, especially at a public school. Like, is this one of the top public schools in the state of California, especially with winning all those Central Section championships and that state championship?
Yeah, I think you have to remember the game in 2019, they beat Sierra Canyon in that game. And Sierra Canyon is a big name in Southern California high school football. And they beat them in that game. And I think that game really put them on the map. And, you know, some of the players they had, you know, Xavier Worthy was on that team. He's now in the NFL playing for the Chiefs. So, I mean, they've had great players come out of there, players in the NFL. It's not just the championships, it's just all the things combined. Yes, they are one of the top public schools in California, but they come from a league of great public schools. So coming from the league they're in and how competitive they are in the league year after year. And I think that's a big part. I mean, Clovis North was a dominant team just last year in that league. And, when you look at it from a public school standpoint, for sure, it's one of the best.
What's one of the best ways to frame that, right? As obviously you cover the entire state of California, but, you know, you think of the Trinity League and you think of those teams up north, the private school leagues. I mean, is the track with all the public schools, is that considered the best public league top to bottom in California? Can you consider it one of the top ones?
Yeah, I think it's changed somewhat. The Southern Section re-leagued. So there's all the top four public school teams in Orange County are now all in the same league. That's Edison and Huntington Beach, which, you know, yeah, they lost to Clovis West, but since then they've gone on a tear. You know, Los Alamitos, Mission Viejo, and San Clemente are all now in the same league. That has to be, you know, way up there as the top public school league. And then Sierra Foothill League with Folsom and Oak Ridge and Rockland. Rockland lost last night to Grant, but that's a very, very good league. So let's say it's one of the top, you know, three or four.
What do you think, Mark, about when the Central Section broke Division One into two divisions of eight? Like, do you have any thoughts of that? Is that something that's unprecedented, or something that a lot of other sections are moving towards, getting two more championships, championship teams out of their section?
I think it's a move. You see some of the sections trying to get their maybe not their second best team in the NorCal in the regional playoffs, but another team that's fairly high. And I think, you know, you just mentioned the track, and they had, you know, four semifinalists at the top. It's also a move in your section, I think, to give schools from other leagues more of a chance to win a section championship. And it didn't work out for schools like Hanford and Tulare because they had to be in the top division. But, you know, at the end of the day, they had a Frontier versus Bakersfield, you know, championship in 1A last week, and it was hugely attended, big success, you know, great game. And so for, you know, Frontier, you know, getting a championship, they probably wouldn't have gotten one if there was just one 16-team division. So it is something you see around the state, getting that extra team in there.
All right. So remind us of the criteria for hosting a state playoff game. So I remember last year, right, and I think you might have even tweeted about it. You know, Clovis North goes undefeated. We'd all just assumed, yeah, of course, they're highly ranked. They have a great season. They're going to get a home game in the state playoffs. But that obviously wasn't true. Had to travel to De La Salle. So just remind me just exactly how that works and traveling in the first round of the state playoffs.
Yeah, the travel priorities are based not on a win-loss record or someone's ranking. They're based on teams having to travel year after year after year. And if the team travels one year and they're back in it the next year, the CIF is going to probably give that team a home game. So De La Salle last year had traveled the year before in their regional game to play Folsom. So it was their turn kind of to host. You know, Clovis North hadn't been in it for a while, so that's just the way it worked. And like this year, I think Central will probably get a home game because their section traveled last year, and this year they probably won't. So that's kind of the way it works. It's kind of a back-and-forth thing. And the way the CIF looks at it is, just that it, you know, if a school's winning section titles, they shouldn't be traveling 2 years in a row. It's just a nod to winning a section championship that those teams shouldn't travel all the time based on a ranking or a win-loss record.
So are you predicting that Central's going to get a home game, and who do you think they're going to play?
I'm not as sure because I think they're going to play St. Ignatius of San Francisco. In fact, I said last week they should probably already start scouting each other because St. Ignatius was finished last week as well. They won the Central Coast Section Open Division Championship. They beat St. Francis of Mountain View, and they've had a very good season. They had a win over Cathedral Catholic early in the season from San Diego, and they've been a kind of a breakout season for them. And they really are pretty clearly the next two teams in line after De La Salle and Folsom, which hasn't won their game, but they're heavily favored tonight to win. And then Pittsburgh, which did win their game last night. So those are the first three teams in NorCal. And then the next two, I think pretty clearly, are Central and St. Ignatius. In fact, we have them ranked right next to each other in our rankings. And it just makes the most sense. And because Clovis North traveled last year, it's probably going to be Central's turn to host this time. That's probably the way it'll go, but we'll see.
All right, so we're all for that. And the most famous football player alum to come out of St. Ignatius is who?
Dan Fouts.
Dan Fouts.
For the longtime quarterback in the NFL, Hall of Famer, San Diego Chargers, you know, Dan Fouts is from SI.
Yeah, if we got some time, Mark, I always love to talk about the great quarterbacks that came out of California. They're playing in the NFL. We got a few of them here from the Central Section.
Yes, three.
I love talking about those guys. All right, so Bakersfield Christian, right, with the Cars, took care of business. They beat CVC last night. So Bakersfield schools, you think most likely will be playing down south for state, correct?
Yes. If you look at the way the teams line up north and south, there's a lot more teams in the north, you know, just from the North Coast section, Central Coast section. There's a little more smaller sections. And to make it even out with the same number of teams on the north and the south, you actually would have five teams from the Central section that would be in the south and only two in the north. And traditionally, the Bakersfield schools go south, the Fresno schools go north, and if you have Central in the north, which is traditionally where they have been, then that only leaves one other team in the whole Central section that would be in the north. So in my book, I have the bottom, the Division VI champion, Lindsay, in the north, and all the others in the south. But you never know what the CIF might do. But that's how I would do it.
So that would include Frontier, Bakersfield Christian, and Kalinga, too? You think Kalinga?
Kalinga, too, yeah. Kalinga, too. Kerman, yeah, and Selma. I think even though they're fairly north, there's just no way they can make it work otherwise, because the Southern Section has 14 championship teams. So there's just no other way to make it work. So some of those teams have to – you know, and some of them are going to have to travel, you know, a long way for a game. There's just no other way they could make it work if that many teams, you know, north of Bakersfield, you know, get in. It's just logistically it doesn't work.
So what's the best way, Mark, of trying to predict where exactly they're going to land as far as divisions, right? So our, you know, our Division II champion was Bakersfield Christian. Division III is Kerman. Division IV is Kalinga. Like, how does that match up with what the state divisions look like?
Some of it is you can look at the computer rankings and see kind of what range certain teams are going to be in, and that's one way to do it. You also look at some of the previous history. The thing about the South region is that there's a school, Narbonne, in the southern in the LA City section that has had some transfer issues. They've had ineligible players. They've had forfeits. It's been kind of a crazy situation. They won their game last night in the LA City section quite easily, and you just don't know where their computer ranking is kind of screwed up because they have all these forfeits. So there's no way to really know where they're going to put Narbonne in the South. I think they put them a little bit higher than, like, Bakersfield Christian, but they could actually match them up with Bakersfield Christian. I have Bakersfield Christian higher than, and then it's Bakersfield Christian higher than Frontier. Frontier's probably higher than Bakersfield Christian. So, and they could play each other. They haven't played each other yet. I don't think they would do that. The CIF likes to mix teams around. So I have Frontier playing in D2A against the Southern Section Division 5 winner, which is Palos Verdes. They won last night. And then I have Bakersfield Christian in D3AA playing possibly Murrieta Valley, which hasn't played yet down south. The Southern Section Division 6 is not over. That's tonight. So that's how I have that kind of range where they're in. I don't think they would play each other, but it's possible. Their computer rankings are pretty close, and they haven't played each other this year. So it's possible they could have the two Southern Section championship teams in D5 and D6 play each other, and then Bakersfield Christian and Frontier play each other. That's possible. So that's something to look for that they might do tomorrow. But it's so, in that range of teams, for sure.
Really quick, so you say computer rankings. Is that Max Preps, or what computer rankings are you referring to?
Yeah, Max Preps, Cal Preps. You see where the teams are ranked in the state, what kind of number they are, and if they're kind of near each other, that's the CIF's looking for. They're not going to put a team that's ranked like 100 matched up against a team that's like 250, for example. They're just not going to – it's too far apart. They're looking for teams that are fairly close together, and you can kind of figure it out if you look at it closely. Like Kalinga and, if you compare Kalinga versus Kerman, for example, Kerman won Division III, but Kalinga won Division IV. They're 14-0, and they have a little bit higher ranking than Kerman does. So Kalinga probably – is going to be seated higher in one division higher maybe than Kerman, even though it's 3 and 4. I don't know if you understand that, but
yeah.
And then the other thing I was going to mention about Kalinga, just to squeeze that in real quick, Kalinga is the only 14-0 team in the state right now. There isn't anybody else. So that's kind of a cool thing for that school. 14-0. No one else is 14-0 in the entire state of California right now.
Wow.
There might be another one tonight, but they're the only ones right now.
And they were, ironically enough, the 3 seed in Division 4. And, they went on the road and beat Shafter.
They could win that. And they did.
Sure enough, they did it. Yeah, they did it with a little bit of defense and a good amount of offense. We got like 2 minutes here, Mark. I teased on this, right, with the NFL quarterbacks from California. So we talk about the big three, Josh Allen from Fireball, Jordan Love from Liberty of Bakersfield, and then Derek Carr from Bakersfield Christian, who we talked about a little bit. Like, give us like the minute and a half version or some of the other names that people would recognize from California.
Well, let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 others now starting in the NFL. 6 others. Aaron Rodgers is on the list, too. There's 6 others actually in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers from Pleasant Valley and Chico, Jaden Daniels, rookie, Heisman Trophy winner, Bryce Young from Mater Dei, Heisman Trophy winner, Sam Darnold starting for the Minnesota Vikings, C.J. Stroud, a great young quarterback for the Texans from Rancho Cucamonga, and, of course, Jared Goff from the Detroit Lions, and you know, we're hoping to see a Super Bowl between the Bills and the Lions, in which we would have two NorCal quarterbacks going head-to-head, Josh Allen versus Jared Goff. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, I think we love that too, man. We just root for Josh. We need Josh to get over the hump that is the Kansas City Chiefs, man. Let's go get past those guys.
Yeah, Texas has some pretty awesome quarterbacks, including the obvious number one guy in it, and Patrick is awesome. And, you know, don't wish anything ill will of him. He's so incredible and so much fun to watch. And, hopefully the Bills can get through this time.
Yeah, we're all rooting for Josh. We're big Josh guys, and he just got engaged last night. They announced it. Haley Steinfeld, who is a Hollywood actress, so congratulations to Josh on getting engaged.
Life,
pretty wild, what a life!
That kind of scrawny, 6'1", 170 pounder senior in high school to what he's become is rather incredible. He's an inspiration to all the under-recruited, unknown kids out there every year. You just look at him and go, hey, he did. Look at you. You could do it too.
Yep, zero stars out of high school. Mark, thank you for coming on. Always love catching up with you. You're a wealth of knowledge. And make sure everybody out there subscribes to Cal High Sports. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Mark Tennis of Cal High Sports. We'll take a break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk with Stephen Hicks of ABC 30 on 1430 ESPN.
Your home of the San Francisco 49ers, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right. Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday, 10 to 12. And this is a fun, fun time of the year, crowning Central Section champions. And volleyball, we have the Clovis North girls volleyball team on the show a couple weeks ago. Emmanuel won a state title in volleyball. CVC won a state title in volleyball this year. Congrats to those guys. And we crowned five champions last night in football. Had a great conversation with Mitch Francis of Selma. How about this? First year as the head coach, and you win a D5 Central Section title. Awesome stuff. Congrats to Selma. Congrats to Bakersfield Christian. Congrats to Kerman. We're going to be talking with the Kerman guys around 11:30. And right now we got Stephen Hicks on the show. He's a sports director at ABC 30. Does a fantastic job Friday night highlighting all the high school action at 11:15. And I make sure to race home every time so I can watch he and Alec Nolan break down the high school sports. And I got to be honest, I take notes, right? If I missed something or didn't know who scored a touchdown here or there, and that way I can talk about it here on the air on 1430 ESPN. So, Stephen, again, I'm a huge fan, man. You and Alec do a fantastic job with high school sports and sports in general. So appreciate you coming on, and I know you're pretty busy right now, right?
Paul, late night, early morning, it's championship weekend, man. This is what we live for. I was at the Woodward Park for the CIF cross-country meet and just kind of, you know, hoping that some locals would place. We got Connor Lott from Clovis North, your D1 state champ. I mean, how cool was that?
Wow.
This kid who wasn't thought to be a contender, and he had his personal record by some 13 seconds, he said, just a junior. So now he's hoping to make it into the top 10 at Nationals going forward, and the sky's the limit for a kid like that to, you know, against the best in the state, run a race like that. So it's that gets you out of bed in the morning. You know what I mean? Like we have a passion for covering these things, and it's just so cool to see that talent up close.
So this kid wasn't expected to place at all, or maybe top five or something, but runs the race of his life.
Maybe top 10, but when I talked to him after the fact, he said, you know, he hadn't been getting respect coming in. It's kind of been that way the whole time. And I believe he was a Central Section champ heading into this race, but he was not expected to win like he did at state.
and I teased a little bit, and I cheated, and I wanted to see how the Buchanan girls were going to finish, and we know their success over the years, just a phenomenal program run by Coach Brian Weaver. So I'll let you explain what happened. So what exactly happened with the Buchanan girls cross-country team?
Yeah, I talked to Coach Weaver, and I thought he'd be disappointed in a second-place finish, and instead he was jubilant because they had set the course meet record, only to be bested by the team that ended up taking the crown in front of them. So two, you know, personal records there for both teams, and Buchanan just bested. But that's, like you said, Coach Weaver there has got a program that's consistently placing at events like this.
Yeah, right? So you place second in state. And you're actually really excited because they had the second best time in the history of the race and got second place. What are the odds of that?
And I think that's what I love about a race like this, or covering the state track and field meet out at Veterans Memorial in the summertime. It's just, you know, when we cover football games, it's the agony of defeat, right? But
yeah,
at events like this, you know, sometimes you're happy with like a sixth place finish. And so it's just so cool to see all that hard work pay off for these young athletes.
Yeah, you're racing against yourself, your times. I mean, cross-country people, they're built a little bit different. I've interacted with them in the past. And I want you to explain, I know we're going to talk about high school football in a second, but the finish line at the state meet. I've been to two, and the first time I was at the state meet at Woodward Park, I was blown away of how these kids punish their body, and they're crawling and cramping up at the finish line, and right, literally event staff are dragging them off of the finish line so they don't run into one another or get trampled on. It's a wild scene, isn't it? It can be, at least.
It certainly is. Yeah, you've got about 10 yards where there's kind of like almost like the first down marker, right? You've got to get past that to then kind of collapse and catch your breath like these athletes do, because they really push it to the limits. And if you just push to the finish line and then stop there, coaches like Coach Weaver will kind of, you know, drag the athletes out of the way, because it can get bottlenecked, right? There's first, second, third place, they're kind of ahead of the pack, but then that pack starts showing up, and it's just kind of chaos there in a very tight quarters. You're surrounded by hundreds of fans who are, you know, screaming. And I don't know if you or your listeners have ever made it out to Woodward Park, but there are thousands of people out there. You know, parking's a headache, but once you get in, you know, there's just such an excitement on the grounds there. So can't recommend it enough if you guys can make it out next year.
Yeah, the teams they set up their tents, and, you know, they're warming up in their colored uniforms, you know, their matching uniforms. And yeah, it's definitely a sight to see. It's a fun experience. So congratulations to the Buchanan girls. Even though they play second, they set some records. And then the Clovis North kid for winning the D1 title. That's pretty awesome. All right. So last night, football stuff, you mentioned how busy you were. You were by yourself because you sent Alec to UCLA. So that guy gets to experience the Rose Bowl at 75 degree weather at kickoff at 12:30. You know, I got the Kermit guys here. I just saw Damon Jenkins. He's here at First String Sports. He brought some players. He broadcasted their game last night. The 5 seed, these guys just make plays. They win football games. You know, what stood out to you with Kermit this year, even going back to the run that they had last year?
You know, you said it right there. I mean, going back to the run that they had last year, they were hungry to repeat as champions, and I'm sure they can go more into that with you in a little bit. But what stood out to me was practice Thanksgiving morning. You know, that's everyone's dream, right? And sometimes they're kind of going through the motions, these teams, but Coach Jenkins has just really turned that program around, and I don't know, I included in my story on Thanksgiving, I don't know a time when a team responds in unison like they do consistently for Coach Jenkins there. I mean, little things like, you understand this? Yes, Coach. You understand why we're asking you to, you know, study film? Yes, Coach. And it's just little things like that, the discipline that's built, leads to the success that we saw them do last night. I mean, that was a close game. I believe it's Isaiah Quinto having that spin-out touchdown, so they go on to win by two touchdowns. But that was a close game. Third down, if they don't convert that, and they have to punt the ball away, suddenly Madera's got a chance, and we've seen how explosive that offense can be. So that was, you know, as thrilling as it gets last night in a packed house. Memorial Stadium hasn't hosted a Central Section championship ever, so they were as juiced as can be. So can't wait to see what's next for this program. And I know this is just one of their goals, right? The goal is to then do well at state, and we'll see where they end up when the brackets are released.
Yep, practicing this week, and we'll find out tomorrow if they go on the road, or hey, there's a chance they might host a state playoff game, so that would be really neat. Yeah, you're right. We're going to be hearing straight from the Kerman program themselves in about 15 to 20 minutes. All right, so I want to talk about Selma and Lindsay. Mitch Francis was on the show, first-year head coach, and, you know, Alec interviewed them, and they were just happy to get that third win to qualify for playoffs. So not only did they qualify, they won the whole darn thing. You know, these stories are awesome. I talk about it all the time, and, you know, people might roll their eyes. Man, Metter's really, you know, is almost romantic about some of these, you know, football programs and teams and schools. And it's for a reason, because, it's special, right? When you got Selma and Lindsay representing their town, one school town, and bringing the crowd, like Morro Bay. Selma travels to Morro Bay, and Morro Bay was flabbergasted. They were surprised how many people from Selma traveled to watch that football game. It was a sea of orange and black, and I think that's what makes the section so special. But what can you say about like schools like Selma and Lindsay winning these titles?
Yeah, I'll never doubt the support of Selma. I was one of my first glimpses, I guess, at the fan support that they got was back a couple of years ago. I think it was 2016. They had that state game against Bakersfield Christian, and I was covering, you know, the Bakersfield school back then, Darren Carr. And his Eagles ended up gutting that out. But the support that night was like, holy smokes, these small towns are on another level. And it's just so cool to see, because I know they've struggled, right? You know, back-to-back one-win seasons. And, you know, the support maybe waned a little bit, but to see them come back the way they have in that new stadium that they've built, I mean, like, that's what it's all about. You know, going to Lindsay, we've got our morning weather person, Cassandra Gutierrez, is a former Lindsay Cardinal, and she was telling me just, you know, that they haven't had success since she was in high school, you know, over a decade ago. And what a cool, awesome environment for these kids to kind of be elevated, right, to a level where they're kind of representing the town, right, and the whole town shows up. And if you haven't been out to a game, you don't really know what it's like, but it really is a cool thing to see, and it's, you know, it's awesome for towns like Lindsay and Selma.
Yeah, and they got the old rickety wooden bleachers that, you know, you get some splinters, but you don't care. You support your program. And when you win a Central Section title, you're like a legend forever in those towns. You're going to walk around for the rest of your life saying, yeah, we won, a Central Section title in this sport. So, yeah, good stuff. I want to go back a little bit, Stephen, to the Central and Clovis East game. Obviously, we know what happened. We know how to play it out. We know the scenario that was set up, the undefeated season that Clovis East was having. But, man, never doubt. You mentioned, you know, Selma, how they bring fans. But on along those lines, like, never doubt a Kyle Biggs-coached team in a big-time game, especially when you play a team twice. Did that score surprise you? Or you're like, yep, that's, I'm not surprised. I figured Central would not only battle but could win this football game.
I had them, me and some media colleagues do some preseason track predictions, because that's kind of the top SEC league, if you will. And yeah, Central was high up there for me. I'm not surprised. I mean, you're going to these practices, you're going to these games, and Kyle Biggs just seems to have his teams get better as the year goes on. And you just don't want to play a team like that. You know what I mean? Four titles in 8 years. You're in the class of Blankenship and Simons and Gola and the other great coaches in Central Section history. That's just phenomenal. And it's a young team. That's the thing that we keep talking about when we go out to these games. That's the thing Brandon Smith told me on the field as he's celebrating. He's like, we're so young. This is the start. You know what I mean? So It's no, I wasn't surprised. I think I'm now excited to see what's next. I don't know. Obviously, we won't know until the state bracket comes out tomorrow. But chance Folsom could meet up with them, and I know that, you know, Biggs kind of wants revenge for what happened back in 2018 when the Bulldogs came to town and put 84 up on the Grizzlies. Like, that is an awesome team that they've got up there in Folsom, but it's kind of an uncharacteristic score to see for a central program. So, kind of secretly hoping that we get to see that team come down.
Well, I think Central is going to get a home game. Just talked to Mark Tennis earlier, and we think it's going to be St. Ignatius, that a team from San Francisco. We think that's kind of where it's going to lay out. But yeah, Folsom, and I will never forget that game. Trent Tompkins, 84 to what, 60 something or 50 something. I could not believe that score. I kind of want to wrap up. Even though we got state playoffs, right? Just kind of what's been your favorite storyline of the football season so far? Just kind of wrapping up, encompassing the Central Section titles. What's been like a storyline? Has been like, man, that is a really, really cool story.
Well, Ty Miller was really fun. I mean, just you're kind of an undersized quarterback who's leading his team to, you know, this perfect season. And I know I just don't want that storyline to be lost with Central winning another section title, because that program really came from the depths to get to where they're at today. And it's a big reason why is Mr. Ty Miller, and can't wait to see what he does at the next level at UC Davis, but throws just such a pretty ball. And they've got so many playmakers out there, Harold Duvall. I mean, that for me was probably the storyline. It was fun to see McKay Madsen try and lead his team to another section title. I know they lost a lot of talent, but he's just one of the best athletes I've covered in my decade here in the Central Valley. I mean, just, again, another athlete where you're just like, man, I'm so excited I got the chance to cover this guy and can't wait to see what's next. But, you know, on that note, I think Central and you know, a lot of people don't like dominance, right? Like, that's why people root against the Patriots and root against the Chiefs. I'm kind of in the other vein. I want the chance to cover teams like this, like the Michael Jordan Bulls, and for Central to be in the midst of this run that they're in, again, four titles in 8 years, that's just awesome. So that will probably be the lasting memory for me.
And hearing that story that you just told us about Brandon Smith yelling, "We're so young, we're so young." And yeah, it's like you got to get them now because they're going to make a nice run, and their lower levels have been loaded for the last few years. So yeah, I think
Are
Central
you hearing
might
anything,
start
Paul, on where they're going to play. Because Clovis South is coming, right? Do we think they're going to the track? Could Central move to the CMAC?
Yeah. I think there's some realignment plans. So with Clovis South opening up, I think they're going to go CMAC and two divisions. And I don't know if a lot of people know this. I need to dive a little bit deeper, but the CMAC has gone to that for their boys basketball. So obviously football was the same, but boys basketball, there's five different schools and there's two different tiers. So, we're going to dive into that a little bit more, but yeah, it could be look like something like that for, maybe for football too.
Yeah. Sorry to hijack the show there, but that to me is going to be the story going forward. I mean, you don't want to play Central in the playoffs, right? But
no.
All of a sudden, if they move leagues, you're going to play them, and they're going to be hosting a playoff game potentially every year. So, yeah, get them now because it could get a lot harder.
I know, yeah. So that Central, you would think then if that's the case, they got to ramp up their non-league schedule and play some of those Clovis schools. It'd feel weird, right? Central Clovis North, Central Clovis High, but non-league, it doesn't count in league standing. So that's on the docket. We'll dive deeper once we get some more information about that. All right, Steven, so it's 11:21 right now. At 12:30, Fresno State is going to kick off against UCLA. You know, obviously Fresno State's dominance, was it the last four, right? Fresno State's won the last four games. It doesn't feel, though, as urgent as last week's game because of the bowl eligibility, right? You got to win this football game. That way, if you lose to UCLA, you still get a bowl game. And, you know, Tim Skipper still, is a potential candidate to be the head coach. Like, does that game kind of feel like that to you? Like, hey, if we win, awesome. If we lose, okay, that's fine. We weren't expecting. I think the spread's 8.5. But is that kind of your feeling going into the game?
I think certainly from a fan perspective, the luster's just kind of not there like it's been in years past, right? I tweeted last night, tickets to the Rose Bowl are under $20. Like, when has that happened in any of those last three meetings Fresno State's had at the Rose Bowl? But for players, this is a huge game because of the legacy that, that the Bulldogs and Bruins have built in the last 25 years. I mean, Jay Kaner was, I don't know if it was a tweet or an Instagram post, but he's like, do not lose to this team. Like, keep the legacy going, right? This is something, this is a program that Fresno State's dominated the last two decades. So I know the players are treating this like a huge game, and why not, too? Like, the season record might not be there, right? But they're playing for Coach Skipper, and you know, I don't want to say playing for a job, but that's kind of what it feels like with the transfer portal. And if a new coach comes in and he doesn't see the success, you know, with how you finished, well, maybe he's going to go get somebody else. So I'm looking at guys like Mikey Keene and you know, some of the other guys on this team to kind of make a statement, right? Because this is their last chance to really prove it against a quality program. Obviously, we'll see where they land at the bowl game, but you really want to finish the season on a high note. So I'm expecting the team to come out with the fire tonight. Today,
well, we
12:30.
Hope, yeah, 12:30, we hope so. What do you think are some of the keys to the game? Obviously, Bryson Donaldson with that huge game. Man, I was so pumped to watch Bryson just chunk off those huge gains. It's like, man, that could have been there all year. We knew he could do it watching him last year. What do you think the Dogs have to do in this game to beat UCLA?
I think it starts with Donaldson. You've got to establish the run game. That takes so much pressure off of Keene and that offense to get rolling. I mean, I don't care who you are, what level you're at. If you're in a passing situation and we know you're going to pass, nobody's going to have success, right? So you've got to establish that early in the game. And I think that's, you know, I kind of tweeted a stat a couple weeks ago that Fresno State said, you know, one of the worst fourth quarter point differentials in the last 25 years. And I think, you know, I was talking to David Carr with our QB&A segment, and he points to that run game and the lack of it, where you get into these situations and you know you're going to throw the ball, and you can't move. The offense becomes super stagnant, and that allows teams to get back into it. So start early on the ground. Stay consistent on the ground, and we'll see if they can extend a streak against the Bruins.
And I know Bryson got a little banged up in last week's game. Man, I think he was on his way to a 200-yard game, and I don't think Colorado State liked it. I think at the halftime they said, we can't let this true freshman run all over us. So I think they put a little extra hurt on them, and so hopefully he's good for today's game. One more question here, talking with Stephen Hicks. Fresno State men's basketball, I've listened to all their games. I've watched the ones that I've been able to get on TV. Are they playing like, I don't know, how should I phrase it? Are they playing better or worse than you thought or about what you thought?
It's a great question. I didn't go in with a lot of high expectations, so I think I'm pleasantly surprised with the results that they've had. It's just, you know, it's hard to quantify, or I guess hard to describe what they are right now. I look at that game that they just had against Cal Baptist, and they just couldn't shoot to save their life. I think it was 0 for 11 from 3 before Amar Aguiar hit the first three in the final, like, 2-3 minutes, and all of a sudden the balls, they can't miss, and they're coming back again from this 14-point deficit. I think they came down from a 17-point deficit earlier in the season, so that's something that Coach Wahlberg has told us a lot in the offseason, is that they're just going to get better as the season progresses. And they haven't had a lot of time together, a lot of new faces, and, you know, they're getting hit with the injury bug right now. So, yeah, I think I've been pleasantly surprised would kind of be how I would describe what they've done the last couple of weeks. And I hope, you know, it can get better as they get healthy.
Well, we know they're going to play hard. I would hope they play a little bit harder on defense, a little more man-to-man pressure, get up in those guys' face and play some really aggressive defense. But, yeah, shooting's been an issue. But they have been playing pretty hard all year, and we know nobody will outwork Coach Vance Wahlberg. You know, he's known for that and his hard-nosed coaching style and never giving up. So got that going for them. So, yep, we'll see how the rest of the season plays out.
If you're a fan and you're going to these games, don't leave early because
they'll
probably switch to the press late in the game, and all of a sudden teams don't know what to do with that. We've seen that like 2 or 3 times in the season. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. Teams are going to play hard to the final whistle, so it should be an exciting season.
I agree. Good stuff. Yeah, and Wednesday, San Diego State at home. I'm going to be checking out that game. All right, Steven, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you as always. You've had a very busy last 24 hours of so. So I appreciate you coming on and talking sports with me.
Anytime, Paul. Take care.
All right, take care. Now we got the Kerman Lions are in the house. They've been waiting patiently here at First String Sports. We're going to bring on as many guys as we can. There is a lot of them. We've got a lot of headsets here, so bear with us while we get that ready. But excited to hear from the Kerman Lions. D3 Central Section champs in the house, live here at First String Sports on 1430 ESPN.
On the other side of the street, I knew stood a girl that looked like you.
All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. Just had a good conversation with Stephen Hicks talking about high school sports. And, you know, one of the things we love to talk about, love to obviously watch and be a part of are championship teams that grind it out, teams that might be the underdog, consider the underdog on paper and win a championship. Just the stories abound. And when you come together as a team and the community comes together, it just makes for a fantastic story. And we got the Kerman Lions in the house right now. We were able to broadcast their game last night on 1430 ESPN. They defeated Madera 42-28 to win their first Central Section championship in football in school history. We got Coach Damon Jenkins, friend of the show, comes on a lot, and I love that about him. He's willing to talk about his program and his kids. And we got four dudes, and we're going to split them up. We got Jaden Cardenas and Julian Valles right now, both seniors on the team. So first of all, man, thanks you guys for coming on, and appreciate you guys. Looking forward to this. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. So were you guys sore? We're going to talk about a lot of cool stuff. Were you guys sore right now, or is like the sore? You don't even care about the soreness because that means you guys competed, right?
Yep. Yeah. My body hurts, but it's all worth it.
It's a feel-good hurt,
yeah.
Right? So, Coach, you know, it's been a fantastic season. You guys have gone through a lot, capped off by a Central Section title. Just kind of like this morning when you woke up, right? Just kind of what's going through your mind?
Well, it actually finally hit me. Last night it was just almost a surreal moment, but this morning it finally hit me. My best friend called me. He said, "Wake up, champ!" But to know, you know, our boys accomplished a goal that we set out at the very beginning of the year when we started in February. Like I've been telling everybody, our three goals was to win our league, which we end up tying first for league, win Valley, or win our section, which we did last night, and so our third goal is to win state. So just for those boys to accomplish those first two goals means a lot.
Julian, what about you? When you woke up this morning, like, were you like, man, we really did it? Did that really happen? What's going through your mind this morning?
Yeah, it felt like a dream. Like, when I woke up, I've been dreaming about this for my whole life, and then just waking up this morning and knowing that we actually went out there and got it, like, that was a surreal moment for me.
Jaden, what about you? You mentioned your body's a little bit sore, but, like, besides that, what's going through your mind about being a champ?
Yeah, I mean, last night it was just all mix of emotions, you know, just I was happy, I was sad, I was crying, you know, like, we did it. And then this morning my brother woke me up just and knew, you know, because we're big UFC fans, and, like, it just really hit me, like, we won.
So what Coach mentioned how big the crowd was and how the community reacted, and obviously on Madera's side too, is absolutely packed. And what do you think about the impact that it had on the community, what it means to the community to win the first football title? Like, how do you quantify all that?
I think it was huge for both communities, but mainly Kerman community, for us to be able to get that title, you know, first ever in school history. To have the community come out, to have their support, it means a lot to me as a head coach, but I know it also means a lot to our boys. To look in the stands and see their relatives, whether it's grandma, grandfather, uncles, aunties, brothers, friends, girlfriends, former players were there. So it meant a lot to see all that and for them to come out and support.
How about some, you know, something that an admin said or maybe an alum of the school, you know, talk about some of the Kerman greats, Efren Gazar, like those guys that are Kerman guys through and through. Like, did they have anything to say to you, or what was something that was said to you that made me feel really good? Like, man, the community just is really, really, really understanding of this situation.
Well, the biggest thing, I mean, we did it. right? You know, specifically, you know, Gordon Pacheco, Jessica Ness. She, you know, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here. So for her, just to see the smile on her face and to see, you know, for her to be the first principal in school history to get a section title under her belt while she is the principal. But again, my admin have been very supportive all year long. Like I said, my superintendent, Gordon Pacheco, tells me he's proud of me. He reaches out to me on Saturdays to check in, make sure everything's okay. But just to hear people say we did it and to say thank you, you know, for helping build this program. But like I always tell people, if it's not for having good kids, I can't build the program that I'm building. And if it's not for my coaching staff, I can't have the success that I'm having.
So. 100%. Guys, how about you, Julian? Did you, like, during the week, did you understand how big this game meant? I mean, you're a senior. You've grinded, right? You've waited for this moment your whole life. But did you, like, really understand the significance of this game, like, just related to the alumni and the community as a whole?
Yeah, I think getting a taste of it last year and seeing, like, how many people showed up, like, the talent's really behind us. So I know the goal this year was to go out there and get it for them.
Jaden, what about you?
Yeah, I think being here last year did help a lot with this year. I feel like the nerves weren't really there as much. Last year I was really nervous just being a junior there in that big game, you know. And then this year it was just we've been here before, you know, so it wasn't nothing brand new.
How about that, Coach? We talked with Stephen Hicks, sports director at ABC, about that and just the continuation from last year, right? You're building the foundation. You guys are winning the games that maybe in years past you weren't able to win by making plays. You go on the road and you upset some teams, make it all the way to the Central Section Championships, and then obviously what happened last night, winning a title. But how much of the experience, you know, especially with these guys as seniors this year from last year, bleed into this year?
Well, these guys actually were sophomores when I got the job. So I brought it up last night that when I came in, I set the expectations. I kind of laid down a law of what I expect out of us. And, you know, the kind of the Pat Hill mentality, we'll take on anybody, anyone, anywhere, anytime mentality. So I think when I first kind of laid that groundwork for them, they kind of was looking at me like, okay, this dude is out of his mind, right? But then they also understood that everything that I was saying is because I truly believed in their success, and I truly believed that these young men could be successful on and off the field. And I think once they truly believed that I believed in them, that's when you started to see their growth, and that's when you started to see the buy-in.
All right, so let's get into some game specifics last night. You guys take the opening drive down for a TD. Then you guys kick off. You didn't do the rest of the game. I noticed that. So you guys kick off. They take it to the house. All of a sudden, boom, right? It's like 7-7. All right, okay, we're going to have ourselves a little game. You knew it was going to be a great game. What were you guys thinking at that moment? Well, how about Julian? Like, after that first drive, you guys take care of business. Like, what's kind of going through your mind after Madera tied it?
After they go down and score like that, I'm on the offense. We got to go score again. We got to go put it in the end zone again. We just got to stay on them all night. We knew it was going to be a four-quarter game, like Coach said, before the game. So we went out there, and we just wanted to go score again.
And Julian, or Jaden, what about you?
Yeah, after we went down and scored like that, I was just like, we got these guys. We can hang in, you know. Like, if we just keep doing this all night, we got them. And then they scored, and I was just like, let's go make a stop, you know. Let's go score again. Let's just keep going.
And what, 35 total points in that first quarter? We thought it was going to be first one to 60 is going to win this football game. I mean, you guys took the 21-7 lead. They tied it. They took the lead 28-21. Then you guys came back and scored. And then let's talk about this play, right? Huge play, momentum changer in the game. 2 seconds left. Madera has the ball on the 1 yard line. Decide not to kick it. They're going to go for it. Well, Coach, what are you telling your team in that moment?
Well, it's a big play. Right. And so those kids understood the moment and they understood that we needed to get a stop in that very moment. So on that particular play, I actually called all out blitz. Guys shot the gap. Guys did what they needed to do. So, but I mean, that's the second time, the second or third time that's happened where we needed to come up on a big fourth down or just a big stop in general. And our kids, they understood the assignment. So, but just to watch them and just to watch my guys play, it's a thing of beauty. You know, and I can't marvel in that enough. Just watch them go out there and just not flinch, right? And that's a coach's dream when you go out there and you put the kids out there in certain situations and they don't bat an eye, they don't flinch, and they just keep working, you know? So.
And we'll be talking with your quarterback in a second here about some of the plays that he made. But you're right, right? Watching the game from on top of the press box and just seeing how you guys are staying in your lanes, tackling in space, playing fundamental football. All those things led to the championships. All right, boys, I want to ask you, Julian, what was the biggest play, in your opinion, from last night's game? I mean, lots of plays that you can point to, the interception by Nick, right, in the end zone, that stop the coach talked about, those late touchdowns. Like, for you, what was the biggest play in the game?
I think it was Nick's interception in the end zone, because that really flipped the tide for us, moved the momentum into our favor. We went out there and we scored after that. And so we put the game back in our hands.
Absolutely. How about for you, Jaden? Like, what was, like, the play that you were watching there unfold in the field? Like, man, okay, that was awesome. That's a game changer.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say Nick's play, too. Like, it was their first drive coming out of half. You know, they're just driving. They get down in the red zone, and then he makes that play, and it's just like, wow, like, let's just go score, you know. This is going to change. That changed the game. Like, the momentum really shifted after that one.
Watching that play, Coach, you've picked off a few passes in your lifetime, right? Have you seen your dude pick that off? Were you just like, man,
It was beautiful. I mean, like, it was a game changer too, right? Because Nick had been struggling at a few drop passes before that. Yep. And for him to be able to snag a one-hand interception like that in that moment was big. You know, you could tell Nick was down on himself a little bit at half. And I went and I told him, I said, man, let that half go. We still got two more quarters. Right, and you're still one of our leaders, and you got to show up, and he did. So,
I've got a couple more minutes with these guys. I'm going to talk here from a couple other Kerman Lions. Julian, like, talk about what Coach has meant to you and your teammates have meant to you this season, being a senior, right? All the wins and losses and those hard workouts and the times you're like, man, I don't know if we can do this, but how what it meant to you to win a championship and that celebration on the field.
Everything. Like, we've been putting in work since, I think, the end of January. We just bought into what Coach has been telling us since he's got here. Like, that just meant the world to me, because we've been putting the work in together. We knew how much we grinded all off season. So just putting in the work and then getting there and finally accomplishing our goal, it really meant the world.
Absolutely. And Jaden, where were you on the victory formation play, right, when you're when they're snapping the ball? Where are you and who are you hugging first?
I think the first guy I hugged was probably Julian. I went and go look for Julian, and he's the first guy I hugged. Like, bro, we just won Valley. We're just screaming at each other, you know. It really meant a lot.
That's awesome. All right, thanks, guys. We'll do a little switcheroo. We got about 8 more minutes here, but we'll do the switcheroo with the headsets. Coach is going to stay on. So, Coach, why don't you talk about the two seniors, what they brought to the field. You know, Julian, the running back, and you got a lot of the carries. What do you end up with, 18, 21 touchdowns this year? But just talk really quick about what those guys meant to you this year.
And it means a lot because, again, these two started with me when I first took the job, right? You got a kid like Julian who people kind of looked at him and saw his size and just dismissed him for his size, but they don't realize he's one of the hardest working kids in our program. Same thing with Jaden. Jaden actually was a quarterback, and then, I made the switch and moved him to DB, and he thought I was crazy. And he actually started off as our fifth DB his sophomore year, but ended up at the end of the year as a starter. So, again, talking to him about trusting the process and just trusting, you know, our judgment as coaches. And now look at him. You know, he's a Valley Championship. So,
that's awesome. All right, so we brought on Adrian Torres and Vaughn Blunt. Guys are juniors, right?
Juniors,
I know Adrian is quarterback of the team. All right, so let's start with you guys. So, like, when you guys woke up this morning or even last night, like, when did it, like, really, really hit you that guys were champs? When you guys were celebrating on the field, taking the team picture, like, when did it really hit your heart?
I'd probably say when we were taking pictures, you know, with the family and friends and the teammates, you know, it was just like, it was a surreal moment, you know, being able to have that moment with family and, you know, with our teammates after. It was just, you know, it's what we've been working for, and we finally got to that goal, but we're not done yet.
Not done yet. Look at that. I like that. All right. Vaughn, what about you?
Yeah, I would say I saw a lot of my former teammates. They came up to me and, you know, came, you know, excited, telling me, you know, you guys finally did it. I think that finally hit me, like, you know, we really did do it, you know. It was crazy for them to come up, you know, excited to see that we won, even though, you know, they weren't part of the team, but they were there supporting.
Absolutely. The whole community was. Adrian, quarterback of the team, thrown for a lot of yards this year, a lot of touchdowns, had a lot of success on the field. Just talk about, like, the game seemed slow, fast to you? Did you feel like you had to settle in a little bit? Like, what was kind of going through your mind while the game was going on?
I mean, yeah, we started off fast. I mean, I thought it was going to be I don't know, honestly. It was just really fast at first, and then we kind of slowed down. You know, we got into a little bit of a back-and-forth game, and, you know, we stayed within ourselves. We stayed composed. You know, we didn't get too high, didn't get too low. And we leaned on one another, and we just, you know, we finished out the game.
Vaughn, what about for you? Like, what are some of the things that are going through your mind on the field and some of the plays that you remember?
You know, I just knew how to stay composed. I had to, you know, keep constantly communicating. You know, it was a loud stadium. Everybody had to be on the same page. And, you know, even though there were some plays we were on the same page, we couldn't, you know, stress about it. We had to keep going, you know, play by play and just keep working, keep trying, you know, have a bend but don't break defense, you know. You know, maybe they get a few yards, but eventually we're going to, you know, stuff them on fourth down.
Coach, defense. We didn't talk enough about them. Strut out football the second half, like your defensive guy. Like, what was cooking for you guys defensively in that second half that worked so well?
I mean, I think the biggest thing was communication. You know, we would come off the field and we look at the iPad and see a lot of things that we messed up on just due to our lack of communication. And so once we got that in order, we were able to go ahead and sort things out. But, I mean, our kids just competed,
yeah.
Right? And there's just certain things you can't teach, right? And our D-line played their butts off. You know, Bond played his butts off. Our secondary played their butts off. So it was just a beautiful thing to see those guys again go out there and compete, you know. So
Vaughn, you guys are juniors, you and Adrian. Like, this season – right? Like, how did Coach put you guys in good positions to win football games, right? You know what I mean? Like, staying in your lanes, fundamentals. Like, what were some of the main things that you were taught this year by Coach and the staff?
I mean, I would just say constantly game planning, constantly communicating, constantly, you know, putting in different coverages, disguising things, you know. Not letting the offense get a pickup on us, you know. We had many different fronts this year that we put in, different coverages, different blitzes that I think kept offenses on their toes. They couldn't really get a read on us. So it was easier as a player to read the offense.
When Coach came in, let's be honest here. When Coach came in and throwing all this stuff at you, and you know, giving his speeches like he does, because sometimes when I talk to Coach, I want to run through a wall too for him. Like, was your head spinning? You're like, man, this dude's like serious. He's pretty complicated, but did it take some time to get used to that, or did you just buy in really quick?
Yeah, my freshman year was definitely. You know, it was definitely a big adjustment getting moved up. And
you got moved up your freshman year to varsity?
Yeah. And, you know, having to fit into that varsity, you know, defense and all that, it was definitely a struggle. But once the offseason hit after that year, you know, going into my sophomore year, it just felt like I understood what he was trying to do, what the defense was trying to do, and it made it a lot easier to play.
All right, Adrian, what about for you? Like, buying in was probably easy for you, right? Being the quarterback and the leader for the team, did you just like, man, right away, just kind of, you know, attach yourself to coach and staff and trust them, or did it take a while?
No, yeah, I mean, right away, when he was talking to the team, I was like, man, this guy knows what he's saying. You know, I've never had a coach like this. Yeah, you know, he knows what he's saying. He's a great guy. He leads our team very well, and, you know, it wasn't hard to buy in, you know. As soon as he's, you know, got here, I was like, yeah, like, this the guy for us.
Coach, what can you say about these two guys to your left and what they brought to the program and how they performed last night?
Well, again, we brought them up as sophomores. So we actually threw both of them in the fire, their sophomore year. Actually, Coach McCoy wanted him up his freshman year earlier in the season, but I made him wait. But just throwing those two into the fire, they rose to the occasion when we did throw them into the fire. So we were excited about them coming in the next year. These actually all four of them are the hearts of our team, right? If I don't have all four of these guys in my program, I don't think my program is moving in the direction that it moved in, right? Because each one has a story and a testament that actually filled the fire to building our program. But Vaughn is, you know, the heart of our defense, him and Nick. Without those two behind each other, man, we would not be where we were, right? Because, again, those two are constantly communicating. And, again, those are my generals. Like, I'll tell them a call, and if they don't like something sometimes, they'll be like, hey, Coach, that's not working this. Or they'll check something different, right? But I trust them, too, because I understand the film study they put in. I understand that they buy into the program and they're not just doing it to be jerks. They're doing it because they see something out there that I've taught them and they're just putting it to use. So, but those two, Nick and Blunt, are you know, kind of been a heart of our defense. And then Mr. Adrian over here, you know, he's grown, he's matured a lot, right, when we first got him to where he is now. You can see the growth, and he stepped up big this year, right? He stepped up big. And one thing about Adrian is that he learned from last season. He learned from his mistakes. He learned from his growing pains, and now he's using that, too, to be a good leader, and he's using that, too, in his experience in ball games, right? So, like, you guys, if you go look at how he played last year in this game to where he played this year's game, again, it's
both on the road, too.
And it's night and day, right? And, you know, he took a few big hits in that game, and he could have easily tapped out, but he didn't. So,
Adrian, what was your favorite throw last night? What was your favorite pass that you completed?
Oh, man, I'd probably say the rollout to Isaiah in the back of the end zone. That was a, you know, I just threw it up there to him, let him, and, you know, he went and did the rest. And, I mean, that's a heck of a catch by that guy right there. I mean, it goes unknown what he did. Isaiah Quinto, he does a lot for our team.
And then what are we going to call that play? It was Quinto, right, that caught that short one and spun out, right?
Yeah, the last one?
Yeah. Do you have two?
Oh, yeah, two touchdowns? There was one in the first half.
Yeah.
First half? I mean, we gotta name that thing. What is it, a clincher? I mean, what do you call that play? Because right then it made a 42 to 28.
He just sealed the deal for us, and that was a big play, right? That play wasn't meant to do what it did, but you know, Quinto, you know, made a play, and he turned it to the better athlete in that moment, and it was all she wrote at that point.
Vaughn, so, what play stands out to you most?
It's got to be the stop before half. I mean, if they score the ball there, they're up 7 at half going in. They have the ball. They have momentum. You know, who says they don't score with that momentum? They're up 14 right after half. You know, it could be a very different ball game.
Absolutely. We got about 3 minutes here with the guys from Kerman, D3 Central Section Champs. Coach, I want to hit on this. I want to make sure you give love to Madera because, you know, Coach Palinelli is one of the good guys, right,
yes,
in the sport. He loves, you know, molding young men as well as you do. So what can you say about him and the staff and the fight that those guys put up last night?
Well, I was fortunate enough to coach with KP when I was at Madera, and KP's always been a good guy. He's always had been a good spirit. He's always had that good aura about him. But, you know, but to watch his kids on film before we played them, I was like, yeah, they definitely have, you know, KP stamped all over it, right? You could tell, even just watching the little video clips that they posted online and seeing how the kids interacted with one another, you can tell that KP's doing a great job over there. So, I mean, he did a heck of a job with those guys. It was a battle back and forth last night. And so, you know, fortunate enough to come out with the victory. But he's doing a heck of a job over there.
No, he is. Yeah. He's going to be there for a long time, too. He bleeds blue, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Madera blue.
He does.
All right. We got another minute or so here, guys. Victory formation. It's the best play call to call, right,
yes,
Julian
sir.
Or Adrian? Just you know, how do you got another week of practice and another football game and hopefully playing in the state championship and win a state championship. But what has this year meant to you so far? It's not over yet, but so far.
I mean, it's been a lot. You know, for how much the guys and our team have put in and the coaching staff, they put in a lot for this team and, you know, for this program. And it means so much to be able to give back to our coaching staff and, you know, this town. Yeah, I mean, it was a real special moment for us.
Absolutely. What about you, for you, Vaughn?
Yeah, same. This season meant the world to me, you know, playing with all my friends since like 7, 8 years old, playing football with them up until high school, you know. It feels like Pop Warner again winning the championship, you know. It's surreal.
Great stuff. You guys are wearing your Letterman's jackets here. I see three of you guys are going to have a big old CIF Division III champ patch to put on that bad boy and some rings to design as well. Coach, 30 seconds. Why don't you have the last word about this season?
I mean, this season has been a beautiful pain in the sense of we've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations. We've had a lot of guys step up. We've had, you know, believe it or not, we had 3 freshmen come up and make some plays for us. We had 2 starting last night. You know, so with those guys coming in there, stepping up and believing that they can be successful in varsity, that was huge. Our coaching staff, it was a beautiful season. So, it's a testament to the kids' hard work. So
100%. And you guys are going to live in Kerman lore forever. Congratulations on the season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Absolutely.
Thank you for having us on.
Absolutely. Sure. Anytime. Adrian Torres, Vaughn Blunt, Jaden Cardenas, Julian Velez. Thanks to Stephen Hicks, Mark Tennis, and Mitch Francis. All right. I got everybody. And thank you guys for listening. We'll do it again next week.